You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Breakthrough Investor Show. My name is Charles Rose Jr., and we focus on breaking through limitations and barriers to get you to that next level of investing. With me is William Palmer, my amazing co-host. And in today's episode, our guest will be talking about how he got to 30 plus rental properties, making over $300,000 a year in passive income.
That's right, Charles. And he'll talk about how he helps other investors earn six figures and more, and why delegation is so important to his success. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Breakthrough Investor Show, where we guide you to financial freedom and break barriers in your investing to give you the secrets to success. And now, here are your hosts, Charles Rose Jr. and William Palmer.
William, brother, how fantastic are you doing today?
I am doing great as always, experiencing a little bit of technical difficulties on my end. For those of you that are listening, my screen is very, very dark on my laptop, and I'm going to have to sort that out for any visual stuff. But yeah, super excited and very, very ready to jump in today to today's interview.
Absolutely, man. I'm super excited, man. Like, you know, William, the thing about it, like, you know, we get to talk to many different people. We bring guests on, and, you know, what I love about some of our guests, and most of our guests are like this, they have given hearts, right? And, you know, we got to meet our guest today and learn more about him. You know, we read his bio and everything. But one thing I think that really stands out about him, and we're going to talk about, you know, some of the amazing things he does, but I love how he's passionate about mentoring others, man. I mean, that's really big, William. Like, this guy, like, literally helps, like, his students, because he's a coach as well. He helps them get the six figures, and some of them even over $250,000. William, can you help you do that, William?
Absolutely. I think that's incredible. And the fact that he's been doing this for a little over 10 years, I think 30 plus units. I believe they're all long term, maybe one or two Airbnbs thrown in there. But he's done all of this, and not only that in real estate, but he's a father, he's a husband, he's got his own kids and family. And so, like, having to run all of that and do all of that at the same time is awesome. So really, really, really awesome to know and see that it can be done. Like, everyday people can do this. So
that's so true, William. And you know, I wish we were recording when his little son came on the
that was great.
That was good. He was like, who are you?
Yeah. We even asked him if he was gonna be on with us, and he's like, I don't know.
I know, yeah, that was so awesome. But yeah, man, we are super excited, and I know our listeners are super excited. So to help me welcome to the show, James Michener. James, what's up, brother?
Hey, nothing much. Thank you guys for having me on. And the conversation before this is really cool. It just showed how passionate we all are about the passive income, the rentals, and just investing in general. So that was really fun.
Yeah. Awesome, man. Well, yeah. It's so good. Thank you so much for agreeing to come on the show, man. And so, man, we want to hear more of your story. Like, we were talking beforehand, and you know, sometimes we have to remind ourselves, like, hit record, you know, that's good key point. So, you know, why don't you start by telling us more about your real estate investing journey and what initially made you want to do it?
Yeah. So my name is James Michener. I'm in Prescott, Arizona. I run the Financial Free Realtor group page, where there's investors and real estate agents in there, which I really love. I have a real estate team. We do about a little over 200 deals a year. Most years in the record, we've done over 250 all the way up to 325. I own 32 rentals. One is an Airbnb. Sorry, I just picked one up yesterday that I closed on, so I keep forgetting about that one. I own a private money company, which is Titan Capital Investments. I love that. We do wholesale, have the real estate team, and do some fix and flips as well. So my story is kind of interesting. So when I was 14, my mom decided that she wanted to move out of town and go live with our grandma, right? And it was a one bedroom, one bath, little cabin over in Cornville. And I was like, where are we going to sleep, mom? She's like, oh, we got the shed ready for you. I'm like, no way. No. And two different families took me and my brother in, which was amazing. A family that took me in, the dad was a real estate agent, broker, and investor. And the mom was a nurse, and they did some real estate investing together. And by they did some, they owned 24 rentals. By the time I had graduated at 18, everything was paid off except for their own house. So they had 24 rentals paid off. And I just really followed the blueprint. I remember I was going to college and I told Steve, or I asked Steve, what made you want to become a real estate agent and real estate investor? And he goes, well, I wanted to be in real estate because I liked sales and I wanted to make a lot of money and be in the realm of where I could find some good deals. And I was like, so I wrote one of my senior papers about being a real estate agent, which I opened up like 10 years later and totally forgot that I did that. Right. Wow. So it was really cool to see that.
How much of your, how much did you accomplish by the, like out of your paper? Did you accomplish any of that accidentally?
Dude, so much. The only thing I didn't accomplish was marrying the girl that I was kind of obsessed with at that point. But I'm really glad I didn't because I have an amazing wife and family.
So glad you added that next piece on so you don't get in trouble with your wife.
Yeah, I know. But yeah. It was pretty funny. I'm like, oh man, that was stupid to write that in there. But it was a good little like breakdown of my life and whatnot. So I ended up going to college. I graduated at 24. I was like on the 5.5 year plan. Right. I went and taught English in Taiwan, backpacked through Thailand, then lived on a farm in Mexico or in Montana, drove all the way down to Mexico, was with our Race for the Wounded for the Baja 1000, came back and I was like, okay, I'm going to settle down into real estate. And prior to that, when I was working in Phoenix, I started in my master's program in leadership, but then I ended up dropping out because I was doing my real estate course as well. And I'm like, everybody else that has this master's degree is doing the same job that I'm basically doing and incrementally going up. Like I've seen what being a real estate agent can do. So I ended up taking the courses. I passed the test and then I ended up going to Taiwan for leaving the country for 9 months, right? Well, I get back from Mexico and I'm like, I'm going to settle down and do this. Well, I'd been cold calling for Grand Canyon University for the health department or their health sciences. And when I got into real estate, the coach that was there, Bob Loeffler, fearless agent, great guy, super black and white, and we'll tell you exactly how it is. So hopefully your feelings don't get hurt, told me, hey, you got to sit down in a chair and just dial for 4 to 5 hours until you get a deal going. I was like, there's no way I'm doing that. No way. I just got done doing it. That sucks. There's absolutely no way. 3 months later, I meet with him again and he goes, hey, how many escrows do you have? What do you got going on? I'm like, zero. He's like, you got to do that. So that very next day, I started calling for sale by owners and getting into real estate. And that first year, from July 1st to the end of the year that year, I closed 26 deals, made $55,000. I was like, yeah. The next year, I did 83, and then it was 100, 100, 100. And then in my fourth year of being a real estate agent, I had made like 783 or something like that. And I met with one of my mentors in town, right? I said, have you made $1 million? He's like, yeah, for a few years. And I'm like, dude, I want to do that. I set my goal and I made $1 million ever since for the past 7 years.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah. With my best year being 1.6. So I'm making all this money, right? I'm a young guy. My wife isn't a big spender. I'm not a spender. And I see all these deals coming up. I'm like, I need to follow that blueprint of my guardian father. So I just started stacking cash as much as I could, buying stuff, moving into it, buying stuff, moving into it. And eventually on the fourth house, my wife's like, no more. Like, we can't keep moving. Like, this is too much. Okay. So then I just started buying every rental that I felt I could. Obviously, there are some missed opportunities because I was also like conservative, right? You get to like 20 doors. You're like, is this enough? Because my goal is 15. And my wife's like, I thought you said 15 and then we're done. I'm like, I like this way too much. So 7 years in, my guardian father talks to me about private money. He's like, hey, know anybody that needs money loans or whatnot? I'm like, no, what do you mean? He's like, well, I loan money to people and I get paid anywhere between 12 and 13%. I'm like, damn, no way. And he's like, yeah, you can get points on it too. I'm like, what's points? He's like, it's commission based on the loan amount that you give them. I'm like, wait, so I could do a $300,000 loan at 2% and I make $6,000 plus the 12%? He's like, yeah. I'm like, dude, I'm in. So I found a deal. I'm going to Canada. And the night before I leave for Canada, I'm in Washington. I send this guy $250,000 to do a fix and flip, right? I get paid back 8 weeks later, $13,000. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that was great. All I had to do was look at the deal, feel comfortable with it, transfer the money over, and I got paid 13 grand for that. That's amazing. So at that point, I had like a $2.7 million saved up cash that I had saved. And I just kept lending it out, buying rentals and doing all of that. And kind of fast forward it, 2 years ago, I started doing wholesale because I was tired of the investors I was working with. I'd sell them a property. then they would either fix and flip it and make a ton of money, right? And sometimes not give me a listing or turn it into a rental. I'm like, there's got to be something different. So I found wholesale and I started selling it to the investors on wholesale. And it was so funny. The first one I got, I bought for 150. Well, I got him under contract for 150. And he's like, hey, I heard you got a deal. I'm like, yeah, yeah. He's like, I would like to buy that. I'm like, okay, it's 210. He's like, what? Why don't you give it to me for the 150 that you have it under contract? I'm like, no, no, no. We're doing wholesale now because I'm getting screwed out of all these deals. There's no way. So I made 60 grand on that one deal. And ever since then, my first full year in wholesale, I made $550,000. And then I bought three properties through the process of wholesale. And it was great, right? I'm like, oh, this is awesome. The second year, I made $150,000, but I bought two properties because that's when like 2022 was happening and it was really hard and super hard to find deals. This year, we probably made close to about 150,000 and it's still slower. But those are like all my avenues, right? Then I find the fix and flips and love that. Now at this point, we're at 32 rentals, one Airbnb that we just finished yesterday, which is crazy. My wife told me the other day, she's like, if you do one more Airbnb, you're going to need to find a new wife. I'm like, no, it's a lot of work, man. Like literally the Airbnb lady that manages a bunch up here in town, she's like, called me and I'm like, hey, can I call you back in 5 minutes? And she's like, I just got to tell you one thing. Wow, that's amazing. And she was on speakerphone and my wife just started breaking down, crying, right? She's like, I'm like, are you okay? She's like, yeah, it was just so nice to hear that from somebody because I put so much damn work into it and we've been pushing so hard.
Also, you guys did the flip. You guys did the work.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't physically like put lights up and stuff, but I contracted it all out. And it was a lot, dude. I bought this house downtown Prescott for 300 grand, put 75 down, got carried by a guy for 6% for 4 years. So it's not super long term, but it'll give me enough kind of runway to see how it goes. And then I put 160 grand into it. I'm like, dude, just, I feel like I'm filling up a bathtub and the plug is out of it. And it's just, I'm like, where's all my money going? You know? Mm-hmm. So anyways, it's been a lot. So we'll see how it goes. We should go live next week. But I posted on Facebook and I've had like six people reach out to me wanting to rent it already or sending it to their friends. And then their friends are reaching out. So it should be good.
Awesome. So yeah. Just kind of rewinding a little bit, when you got started in real estate, what we find a lot of times, and correct me if it's different for you, that's awesome. And how, but a lot of investors get started and then they hit a brick wall and then they want to know, like, how do I get through this wall? Whether that's, where do I get the money? Where do I get the finances? Or is it more of a, I'm drained mentally and all this other stuff. Why should I keep going? Things of that nature. Did you ever hit a wall? What'd you do to push through it if you did?
Dude, are you kidding? I hit walls probably twice a year, honestly. Like, we push so hard and I get so tired. And a lot of times I'm like, God, I'm making $500,000 passively a year. Like, why do I need to keep going with this? And so, but I love it, right? And I like it. And I can't imagine my life without doing that. I love success. I like making money. And honestly, I love the people that I get to work around and just the network that I get to build. So what I figured out is the way that I've gotten out of those, hitting those walls, is I set up little successes for me, right? Because what I also figured out is there's so many failures that I'm like going after and all this rejection that if I can set up little goals for myself, the more little goals I hit, the more momentum I'll gain. Mm-hmm. And then I'll break through that wall. Like, it's just like the Hulk powering up, right? Boom, 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 mm-hmm. boom. And then finally he's strong enough because he's been having these little wins and powering up. So for me, it's just setting that up, knowing what my goal is and reminding myself how much I like the people I work with, how I built my network this much, and just the feeling of being successful. Also, like, I want to show my kids that you can be super poor, like I was. We're on food stamps, access, all kinds of stuff. And then you can be the most successful friend that you have. But, and that all comes from being determined and having more grit. I mean, I don't think I'm the smartest guy for sure. I think I'm okay with, I have a big risk tolerance. And then I also am okay with rejection. And I just know if I grind it out hard enough, there's going to be, like, when they say go the extra mile, like, the extra mile is not very well traveled, right? Like, there are very few people that'll keep going the way I can go with the endurance of stuff. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's a lot out there because there's a lot of successful people just like you two. But just knowing that, I just need to follow the game plan, treat people the right way, and I'll break through it. It's a timing.
Gene, So that's, I mean, that's amazing. Like how you know already that there are things that walls you're going to hit. Like it's, you kind of like mentally prepare yourself before you even encounter them. That helps you get through it so much easier. Would you mind sharing, you know, one of the biggest walls that you ran into? Our listeners, they love to hear juicy stories, you know, so that they can learn from it. But would you mind sharing one of those and just kind of like, you know, talk about, use as an example and share how you use your process of getting through that situation?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest walls I hit was, my son was like 3 years old, right? And we're playing in his room on a Saturday. My phone rang 3 times. I picked it up all 3 times and I'm still playing with him, right? The 4th time it rings, I pick it up again and he goes, "Are you going to play with me or are you just going to be on your phone all the time?" And I went, damn, like this is rough. Like I'm not going to miss out on my child's childhood. And my wife said, "Hey, you're here at the house a lot, but you're not here." Mm. And I was like, "Oh my gosh. Okay. This is pretty rough. I need to change over some things." And we weren't getting along super well, unfortunately. And so I started changing that. And I just, the only thing I had to do was I had to delegate more, right? I had to get more help from people. Like that's what I had to do, and hire more employees to kind of help me with that. And then learn how to say no. Because you guys know, when you're in this position, like it's hard to not say no when there's such great opportunities and whatnot out there. So for me, delegation and learning to say no and doing what I want to do.
Yeah.
That can be like the hardest thing ever.
That's so true, William. And I love, you know, our guests talked about different walls. They might have talked about maybe, you know, they ran into a situation where all of the plumbing and the roof and all that went out at the same time. Might be something about money, but I love how you mentioned the situation with your son, because that's something that you had to break through to get to that next level, is to finding that harmony with your business and your family, like your why. And so I think that's so important for listeners hearing your story to know that, you know, don't just focus everything on your business. Remember the reason why you started that business. And for most people, it's their family, right? It's for that freedom. And so whether it's your family or that freedom, some of the common reasons that we hear, by you being sucked into the business and not even making time for your family or for yourself, then, you know, you're not really accomplishing your goal in the long run, right?
So I think that's one of the best points you made, Charles. And everybody talks about that, right? Like, what is your why? And 99% of the time, most likely it's your family. And so you just can't get so pulled away from that. And the other thing is, like, not just your family, but your health. Like, I wasn't working out. I wasn't eating correctly because I'm always on the run. So it was just really like honing back into what made this happen. But I also had to remind myself that I couldn't go too far that way. And I had to remind myself of how much I love this and the legacy that I can leave my family, but just kind of being more cognizant of what I want in my future, which will still be married, have a great relationship with my kids and past 60, right?
Yeah, all the income in the world, like if you don't have that family there with you and for you, it's not worth a hill of beans.
That's so true. And William, I kind of want to unpack this more, because this is the first time we're diving this deep into this topic that I remember. It could be wrong, William, but let's unpack that some more. So when you were in that situation where you realized you took 4 phone calls and your son was like, you know, "Are you gonna play with me?" And then your wife told you, you know, "You're here, but you're not here." Like, what, how did that make you feel? And what did you do about it? And what do you, this is kind of a 3-part question. How did it make you feel? What did you do about it? And how can our guests listening right now get through that situation?
Yeah, I had a lot of reflection and I had a lot of sadness because I don't know exactly what I missed out on and how I treated my wife that way, right? And then I reflected on the life that I've given them so far. So there's pros and cons to everything, right? But you guys watch, I think it's Avengers where Tony Stark, he's talking in his debt and Tony Stark goes, "No amount of money ever bought a second of time." You guys ever heard that line?
Yep.
That was very, very impactful for me. Because just like you said, William, like you're never going to get that time back. The money is not going to be worth it if your family's not with you. So hopefully that answered the question. But just a lot of reflection on both ends, right? Why am I doing this? What does it do for me? What will it do for my family? What things do I need to stop doing in order to keep more of a balance? Because you guys both know,
if you're going to be successful, anybody that's going to be super successful is going to be wildly out of balance for a while. Mm-hmm. And then they start learning, they gain their knowledge, they trust other people, they just start getting more used to it. And then you get to a point where you have enough money that you can say yes or no to whatever you want. But I got my team together after that. Just a couple people, right? My assistant, my main assistant, and then two of my team members. I said, you guys, I got to back off. So I would like for you to start taking on more of the listings. I'll go with you, but you got to handle everything from there, right? And that's why I got the wholesale set up. And I paid off half of my rental portfolio. So just in case I made a big mistake, I would have enough cash flow coming in for my wife. And that helped me sleep better at night. So
yeah, that's great. That's so good. That's so good. So what I'm hearing is, you know, you did some reflection and then delegation is really something that truly helped. Right? And whether you delegate or automate, right? You know, automation could kind of be a, you know, sort of a delegation to like AI or, you know, those technologies.
The delegation seems to be a really hard thing for a lot of people, like giving up something that is their baby, something they've worked really hard to build. And like being able to give that up is like, I'm one of those people where I'll work towards something, but I actually have zero problem wanting to have somebody else do it. And it doesn't bother me a lick. So I think that's a little bit odd for some people, but for me personally, it doesn't bother me at all. If somebody says I can do that and then I can pay them to do that, happy to do it. Because a lot of times they'll do better than I did.
Yeah. Because they're giving 100% to something that you can give 15 or 25% to, right? So they're going 100%. The biggest lesson in anything I can help anybody with is the most successful people that I know are really, really good at delegation. And by success, I don't mean monetarily, but monetarily tied with family and personal stuff. So doing that, and the number one thing that you do is the people that work really hard for you and they work really well, you treat them great because they're worth 10 other employees that are not that great, right?
That's so true.
They deserve to get paid, in my opinion. I mean, one of my assistants that helped me through my busiest time, she worked for me for 6 years. She's like pretty much retired now because of how much I paid her to help me. But there's no way I could have done it without her. So
absolutely. Having the right people on your team is so important.
That's so key, William. And it's always amazing, William, like when we interview our guests, how we get like these like insights. And because this is kind of the first time I'm hearing, you know, to break through that next level, you need to delegate.
I think you're right. True. This may be the first time.
That's maybe the first time. And that's kind of what I'm doing right now, man. Like, so this is like hearing like what you're doing is kind of giving me some ideas, man, because I'm like, you know, I'm getting like where I'm bogged down with a lot of different things. And so I know I need to start getting the help for me to even break through that next level, man.
Yeah. And vision board's a big thing for me, writing down my goals. And now I share stuff with my wife. You guys want to hear a really funny story?
Absolutely.
So like, 8 months ago, right? I'm laying in bed with my wife and she's like, so what do we have exactly? And I went through the numbers with her and every single sector of my business, she's like, we have that much? No way. Are you serious? We're that, you know, well off? I'm like, yeah, I thought you knew this just by like being around it all the time. I was like, babe, you got to get more into doing the books and stuff like that. Because if something happens to me, this is a complicated system to make sure that you can work it through. I got a few people that'll help you. But at the end of the day, you're going to want to know how to do this. But I was blown away. That, you know, I'll tell them how many sales I get or they'll see it on Instagram or posting. And they're like, hey, I did the math. And at 2.5% times 150 deals, you make this amount of money, man. I'm like, okay, there's expenses. And like, sometimes I'm not doing all those deals. So it's funny how often people try to calculate my income.
Yeah.
That's so amazing, man. Dude, I like love how you mentioned that too. It's like, you know, when you put in all that work, sometimes like, you know, if you don't like calculate that number, like then when it comes time to you know, if your wife asks you a question like that, or maybe you're like going through a loan application, like a business loan, and they're requiring you to put your assets and liabilities on paper. And you're like, whoa.
Oh, man, you talk about a nightmare. That would drive me crazy having to sit down and do that.
Oh, yeah.
But I delegate. I don't do it. My assistants do it and my accountant does it. I don't touch any of that stuff. Like I have to answer some questions, but
that's the best way to do that. Cause that would, I would happily pay somebody a lot of money just to do that. So I don't have to touch it. Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. And I probably need to hire an accountant right now, William, because I'm doing a refinance and, you know, the business bank, you know, they're asking for a lot of stuff and I'm like, What?
Did you guys do cost segregation?
What's that?
I have not done one.
Oh, I haven't done one either. A little bit.
No, yeah. That's a really good thing to learn about is cost segregation. So do you understand the premise of it by chance or no?
I'm a little fuzzy. If you want to dive into it, I'd be really interested in learning a little bit about it.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to give the brief overview, right? So you can depreciate a property. Was it 20? If you own a property, you can depreciate it for 27 and a half years, correct? This one, you take accelerated depreciation on it. So you can, depreciation on it. So you depreciate it over like 5 year period, just for an example, right? So you can take way more of the loss in the beginning of it. And what that does is it cuts down your tax burden, right? You got to pay somebody to do this for you. And then they give the report to your accountant. And so on your big income years, instead of paying like, I had to pay like $350,000, $400,000 one year. If I would have been doing this, I would have paid like, I could probably get it pretty close to like $50,000 that year. And I would have saved $350,000. And then I would have just been able to turn that over, and it motivates you to buy more rentals because you want to keep that depreciation because you're making so much money, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a really good thing to do as well.
Interesting. Is there like a threshold, like a dollar amount you need to be earning or value of properties or things like that to take into account of when you should do a cost seg?
Yeah. So I don't know that exact answer because I've only done it based off of my scenario, you know?
But yeah, I'd imagine it's very specific. I didn't know if there was a broad, like, hey, you need to be making this much yearly, have this many properties valued at such and such before it's worth doing it.
Yeah. The negative I see is that you have to, if you sell a property and you own it for 4 years, 5 years, well, it's fully depreciated at that point. So then you got to pay all the taxes. But what's the thing that we can do to not have to do that, you guys?
1031.
Yeah, buddy. Yep.
There you go.
So
dude, that's awesome, man. Man, you're so full of wisdom and tips and everything, man. I mean, we literally talked about, you know, we talk about your story, how you got started and you know, your family, your why, and how you got through situations. I know our guest is really going to enjoy this, man. But is there anything else we miss, man? Like it's we can go on and on forever, but you know, in this short space of time, we want to make sure we cover everything. Is there anything else we miss so our audience can become a breakthrough investor just like you?
Yeah, I think the thing is that your hardest deal is your first deal, or maybe the first three. Once you do that, it's much easier because you understand. But you could also do like paper trading with stocks, right? Where you're like, hey, if I would have bought this rental, it would have been, the mortgage would have been this amount. I could bring in this amount. And be super conservative with your numbers. Like, don't overshoot it because anything can happen. And that's where I see people lose a lot. Like, I have a friend of mine that I...
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
See, don't edit that part out. That was the best part of the show.
No, we're going to leave that in.
Yeah. So be conservative. I have a team member of mine that invested like $150,000 into a fix and flip. And he did it as a hard money note. He's going to make $30,000 on it. Well, he's got to wipe that totally clean so that this guy can at least break even. And I'm like, dude, why didn't you run those numbers yourself and like take over the listing and all that stuff? Well, I like this guy and I thought it was going to work out. I'm always highly conservative. And dude, I've lost out on probably $3 million worth of stuff because I was just too conservative at that point. But I'd rather be too conservative than be bankrupt, is my opinion. So there's always going to be good deals coming through.
Yeah,
so, that's awesome, man. Thank you for sharing that, man. And man, our listeners, they're going to want to connect with you and learn more about you. What's the best way for them to do that?
Really, Instagram or Facebook. So you can look me up, James Michener, on either of those. And I put out some good videos. And then Financial Free Realtor is the YouTube channel, which I'm trying to do more of that. There's so much going on. It's like, oh, I want to do this. I want to do that. Right. So, and then you can get my phone number offline as well. But if anybody wants it, 928-308-4700. But the biggest thing is like, just don't be afraid. Go after it. There's so much information like this podcast, other ones that you guys are sharing with me. When I first started in real estate, I listened to Bigger Pockets religiously. Every single morning I'd wake up about 5:30, 6 o'clock, go on a hike for an hour, and get back into work. But during that hour of that hike, I was listening to podcasts on Bigger Pockets and learned a lot from Tim Rhodes, Thatch Nguyen, Rock Thomas. I mean, all Brandon Turner. Like I had dinner with Brandon Turner one time. That was really cool. I talked to David Green. I just got lucky, right, with that. But mm-hmm. These guys are a wealth of information. They're willing to share. and reading good books like The Richest Man in Babylon. The Millionaire Next Door is really good.
Yeah,
I like that. I mean, everybody says Rich Dad, Poor Dad. It's good, right? Mm-hmm. I like that. One of the best things I did. So when I play Monopoly, I usually win, right? And everybody gets so pissed. They'll try to double team me and triple team me and stuff, and I still win, which is great, right? I'm not trying to be cocky. I'm just saying. But and then there's this game called Cash Flow
by
Kiyosaki.
That's right.
That game was so cool because I forget what my occupation was, but I just kept buying assets, and then I won the entire game like fairly quickly. And I'm like, you guys, like, look at what I did to get that because I wanted the cash flow on it. Mm-hmm. And it's just a good representation of what you should and maybe shouldn't do. So play that a couple times with your friends and family. But yeah, you know, the other thing is to advise for everybody, just listen to the podcast, watch tons of YouTube videos, get a coach. I mean, literally, if you're starting in something and you want to be successful at it, and you have money to invest in your education, do it with a coach because you're not going to have to pay the dumb tax, right? And you can go so much faster than everybody else because they've already done everything. You can consult with them. They give you the advice and they've already been doing it. So one other thing, sorry, I know I keep rambling on, right? But don't take advice from people that haven't been where you want to go. That's one of my other biggest things.
That's a great one.
Yep, literally. Yep. That's all you needed to say, and that'll cover everything.
Yeah. The naysayers and the haters. So,
yeah. Well, yep. James, well, thank you so much, man. And so great to meet you. So, thank you again for coming on the show, man.
Thank you, guys. It was great to meet you as well.